Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter, along with editor of PWTorch.com since 1999, and host of this, the PW Torch Livecast, available for live streaming and on-demand listening and downloading later at PWTorchLivecast.com. It is Thursday, December 3rd. 2015, and because it is Thursday, that means it is Interview Thursday, and we'll be joined momentarily by Just Incredible, former ECW World Champion, and one-time member, or honorary member, we'll clarify that with him, of The Click, and recently just retired as an active wrestler. I think a pretty emotional time for Just Incredible, and we're looking forward to having him on the program, and we'll be bringing him onto the show in just a moment. I want to first just remind people during this holiday shopping season, if you are planning already to shop at Amazon.com, do us a favor and give us a cut of Amazon's profits. It's really easy to do. You just start your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon. And if you're in the U.S., U.K., or Canada, you can then click on the link, and you're good to go. Shop away. You land on the same page that you're headed anyway. You pay the same prices and all the same merchandise. But in exchange for us mentioning the Amazon brand on this show, they give us a cut of the profits from your purchases. It's a small amount. Think of it like the tip jar at the coffee shop, perhaps. And it's just a way of saying thanks for what we do here. And it's a way to give back a little bit to the show if you enjoy what we do here. I do want to thank everybody, by the way. We had a great November. I just looked at our download and listen stats, and we were up 50%. I'm doing this by heart, but I think we're up 50% from a year ago in November, and more than doubled what we did two Novembers ago. And that's pretty good considering Raw ratings are going in the other direction, and ours are going up. So we are proud of that. And everybody here at the live cast, James Caldwell on Sunday nights and Monday nights, joined by Pat McNeil and Greg Parks, and Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, who joins me on Tuesdays. Pat McNeil, longtime Torch columnist, and his series of interviews that he does on Wednesdays, and of course, Fridays with Torch senior columnist, over 25 years of Bruce Mitchell, along with Travis Bryant from the PW Torch East Coast cast, also available at eastcoastcast.com. If you want to check out our sister podcast that is a little bit edgier than ours and also a little bit more laid back at the same time, check that out. Well, sometimes Travis gets on a rant too. But thanks to everybody on the team for doing a great job and continuing to help this show grow year after year after year. All right, we're going to take phone calls. This is very much an open line episode of Interview Thursday. We want to get listener comments on what is going on, especially in WWE. What do you like about what they're doing that you think isn't showing up in the ratings? What do you think they need to correct badly before you're going to show enthusiasm for the product and the brand again? What do you think of Roman Reigns' chase of the title, Sheamus as champion, The New Day getting a push as both kind of a mid-card comedy act and main event heels at the same time, a little bit of a contradiction perhaps, and also what they've done with Charlotte and Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks and Nikki Bella, everything going on, the Wyatt family feuding with the Dudleys, anything going on in WWE, Just Incredible, follows the product closely. And he's very very willing to join in on a conversation about current events in pro wrestling. You also can call with a question for Just Incredible specifically about his days in ECW, his time in WWF as Aldo Montoya going way back, or his work on the indie scene, anything having to do with his career, feel free to give us a call also. The phone number is 646-721-9828. That's 646-721-9828. 9828. Again, I'm Wade Keller, and this is a PW Torch livecast on December 3rd, 2015. And our guest, my guest that we're about to bring into the program, your guest too, so our guest, is Justin Credible. Justin Credible, PJ Polacco, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Wade. How are you guys today?
Doing great. It's so good to have you back on the show. You're one of the regulars. Every time we have you on, we get comments on Twitter and email of people really appreciating your point of view and enjoying your appearances. And I hope you enjoy it, too. It's always a fun conversation.
I always love coming on and, just talk about, what we talk about anyway. what we love, which is business pro wrestling.
I want to talk first before we take phone calls. Oh, by the way, when you call, if you want to participate in the show, you need to push 1 on your Touchstone phone. The pre-recorded message used to say that. I'm not even sure if it still does. But when you call up, if you want to join the program, push 1. That moves you into the caller queue on our switchboard as opposed to just laying back in the weeds as a eavesdropping listener, not yet sure. Ah, a couple of you just pushed 1, so I'm glad I said that. Pete, you know what I'm going to do? Since we have a bunch of callers on the line, I want to talk to you about your retirement in a little bit. I was going to lead with it, but why don't we, as a courtesy to our callers, especially it looks like it might be an overseas caller, let's get to those right away and see what's on their minds.
All right, let's do it.
Cool. Let's go to 61407 are the first few numbers on this. I believe you're calling from overseas. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Wade. This is Jim, all the way from Australia.
Awesome. Good to hear from you.
Oh, wow.
I picked up Australia. I didn't hear your first name. You say Jim?
Jim, that's right.
Oh, good. Okay, I did hear you. What's on your mind, Jim? Thanks for calling from Australia.
Yeah. No problem at all, Wade. I listen to you every single... Well, for me, it's every single morning on the way to work. So I download your podcast and I listen to it every morning, PW Torch.
Thank you.
Just want to put my 5 cents... Yeah, just want to put my 5 cents worth just in regards to the current WWE, I guess, roster and the climate there. I've been watching wrestling for many, many years here in Australia. We used to watch, even going back to Justin Credible's ECW days to WCW to WWE. And you tell me, and when I look at the current roster of superstars that they're trying to project as being superstars, going back many years, your top 4, 5, 6 wrestlers, I just don't get that excitement of the current crop of wrestlers and the way they're projecting them to us as the viewers. When I go back in, even back in the WCW or even, in Justin Credible's time in ECW, you had your 5, 6 wrestlers that you knew when they came out, something was going to happen. So it was must-watch TV. Where at the moment, they're just going like the New Day from being this real, different type of group to now being like a joke coming out and just making a mockery of making. I just don't get that excitement anymore. It's really fragmented.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I in my personal opinion, if you don't mind, I'd take this one first.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a combination of things. I think one of the big things is, of course, the lack of excitement, or the fans aren't very happy from what I hear. From what I read online, they're just not very happy from the eye test. To me, it's very hard. Not because I'm bitter, not because I have a wide interest, just as a wrestling fan, and just nothing, you're right, nothing excites me. I feel like a lot of it has to do with the network, overexposure of the product. That 3-hour Raw is very difficult. Very difficult to keep guys fresh. You see them for 3 hours, and you're banking on these guys for, every week for 3 hours a week, to some degree, several segments. It's going to burn out your character, burn out your feuds. I don't know, man. I think, and right now, wrestling is not cool. There's nothing cool about, pro wrestling. I won't call it sports entertainment. But I think something needs to shake up in the way both WWE and Impact Wrestling and Ring of Honor, the way everybody presents wrestling. I think things have to drastically change for it to be accepted in the mainstream. Because right now, with all the social media and everything that is available to the local 20-year-old, 18-year-old, whoever would like wrestling, you're very divided on where you could spend your time, your money, etc. And we have to capture their imaginations again, and it's not obviously this formula.
Before I go back to Jim, I want to do a follow-up with you, Peach. PJ Walker, Justin Credible, our guest, if you're joining us live a few minutes into the program here. What is, when you're watching the show right now, we're saying a lot that is true, that
yes,
the ratings are down and people are expressing discontent with not feeling excited about some of the talent. And I think one thing that's coming into focus for me, and Jim, I think Jim started off the show in a great way with this comment, is there's always been parts of wrestling shows at any time in any era that I've been a viewer that I've liked what I've, that there's been wrestlers I've liked and feuds I've liked, and other wrestlers I was kind of bored with or thought were overexposed or just was sort of, just didn't really have a strong opinion on. But there were always a few where you're like, all right, cool, this is why I invested my time. I think those people are at a real low point right now. I think that, I mean, there's a lot of things we talk about. There's a lot of things that I rant about that I would change about the industry. But sometimes it just comes down to having 3-4 cool, edgy, popular, interesting characters, wrestlers who are on a journey, and you're on a journey with them. Daniel Bryan was that person for some people. CM Punk was that person for some people. Randy Orton was that person for a while. You know, I mean, you can list them, and I just don't think there's that feeling among viewers that there's that person they're sitting around investing 30, 45 minutes into waiting for them to show up.
Yeah, yeah. It's. I mean, in my opinion, there's no. It's not the lack of talent that, because you know they have a lot of wonderful talent. They have a stocked roster. I just it's been how many decades? You know, we're going on, you know, since the Attitude Era, kind of like you start to show the same way with those long-winded promos. Really not, you know, I know it's hard to produce that much television, but it also could challenge you to focus on, you know, I think the big reason that their main event guys don't matter is because the mid card doesn't matter. You know, it and that has a lot to do with it. I think, you know, if we played this on a more sports like, I mean, I know Vince will never go for it. He wants entertainment, but if you really make certain things matter and you show fans why this guy, you know, and logically book and try to catch that lightning in a bottle with a certain superstar. But another problem I feel is they're so restricted. And Steve Austin, and you have talked about it, I've talked about it with Steve on his podcast as well. I think by choking the top guy's ability to expand and possibly be more of themselves and make it more believable and transparent to the fans, and where it's, you know, the fans could feel it and make a, you know, try to, you know, do something different where it's like, wow, you know, and get fans caring again, caring about the titles, caring about the opening match guys, you know, caring about everybody, you know, and that's what it's going to take. And making it cool. We got to find out how to hit those hipsters and those people that used to spend money back in the day when DX and NWO was hot. We got to get those people to somehow slowly bring them in. And I don't know what that next cool thing would be, but I think it's a new concept, and the way we present it on Raw for 3 hours has to change slowly.
I'll go back to Jim in just a second. I want to throw to you, Justin, one more follow-up, though. Everybody talks about Vince McMahon is 70 years old. He's not cool. He doesn't know what's hip. He's out of touch with pop culture. But he thinks, well, I surround myself with young writers, so I should be okay. But I also wonder, is Triple H cool enough? Is he young enough? He's in his mid-40s. And when he and Shawn Michaels come out and do their zany DX skits, I mean, it's sort of fun in a cheesy nostalgia way, but it's also, oh, Dad, stop embarrassing me in front of my friends, you know, goofball way, like you would expect
kind of
on
way.
Modern Family.
Yeah.
So, you know, what do you think can be done within the structure of WWE management focused on that aspect of making it cool and edgy again? It's something I talked about with Todd Martin on The Fix yesterday with VIP members. That Monday Night War era, Peach, had that feeling of it was cool. You were okay to watch it, and no, you wanted to wear a T-shirt to tell people.
Yes, absolutely. You were absolutely right, and that's what I mean. It was cool to, you'd go down the Jersey Shore, where I'm from the Northeast. You'd see NWO, DX, you know, gimmicks everywhere. Guys wearing them, kids wearing it. It was cool. Stone Cold, Austin 316s. You know, it was hip. And I think, you know, one way to go about it is almost in a, you know, go into a UFC sort of fashion where, you know, like I watch a lot of ESPN and the way they present superstars, athletes. the Peyton Mannings, the LeBron James, you know, whoever the top guys are, you know, Cam Newton, for example, they focus on their personalities. You sometimes get more from what the football guys do announcing when they're coming into the building with their bag. You know, they give a little 60-second snippet of what Cam Newton has to do today to win this football game. And if we started doing more stuff like that, just show wrestlers for who they are and take it into more of a, like, almost like a, you know, how you see the guys in their reality shows. Because they have a lot of charismatic guys. But it seems like once you get into the wrestling arena, you got to talk all weird and act all weird and over, you know, like, amp it up to 10. I think fans have got to let guys be themselves and be cool, be a little rebellious. Fans want that. They're very much into it's about me right now. And I think that's where the WWE has to just try to stay young.
Well, let me go back to Jim and get some follow-up comments and a follow-up question from him. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, thanks, Wade.
Yeah.
The one thing I was just going to mention was the only time really this year that I felt something fresh and edgy was happening was when Kevin Steen, now Kevin Owens, came into the picture, and you saw that feud with John Cena, and you thought, whoa, here we go, fresh face, some bloke that's got a number of years in the indies, where he can actually bring it to a person like a John Cena. And then they started tapping into your emotion where they started talking about, you know, that clip of his son would watch his dad wrestle against John Cena, and the things that Kevin Owens was saying to John Cena in the ring on microphone was tapping into, you know, his family, his son, and you thought, oh, hang on, I'm starting to become a little bit more emotionally tied to this wrestler, Kevin Owens. And then all of a sudden, after a number of months, they've just gone cold on that, and you're like, whoa. You were pushing this bloke, Kevin Owens. He came out first match he had with John Cena, he beat him. And you're thinking, all right, they're going to push this bloke. And now you're just left wondering, saying, Sheamus? Where did he come from? He was basically not even on the main card on a number of pay-per-views. And then you've got this bloke, Kevin Owens, which you pushed and he beat John Cena, but then he lost later on. And you're left of that emotional, it was just broken, and you're like, wow, can't they see that this guy was fresh and was edgy and there was a little bit more energy towards this character, where they had a Sheamus where he's a champion. You're like, whoa, it's just night and day, and you just wonder, can't they see that? Yeah, guys, just wanted to say, I won't take up too much of your time, a massive high from down under here in Australia. Keep up the fantastic work there, Wade, and I'm listening to you every morning here in Australia, every night there in the US.
That's fantastic. I'm glad you called, Jim. Thank you so much for participating today and adding to the show.
No problem. Have a great night.
Absolutely, and thanks for being a VIP member, of course. We'll talk about a $1 sale. This will be the last time I plug in on the live cast, last sale of the year. I'll mention that in a few minutes, but PJ, first you. Your thoughts on that? He brought up some very specific examples as a fan of where he was let down. Go ahead and comment on those.
I mean, I think it's they're all very, you know, all fans like, you know, different stuff, but he has a lot of points. I mean, you know, the Kevin Owens has been a breath of fresh air, but at the same time, they're, you know, we all know what Vince wants as a superstar. And, you know, I knew they were going to put the brakes on him a little bit. They'll use him, and he'll have a very, very successful career, you know, over there. But, you know, Vince likes his guys to look like Triple H, Randy Orton, John Cena, for their top spot, you know, for those top few guys. Even Sheamus, he's a big, big boy, you know, good shape.
Yeah.
So I just think it's very predictable to the fans. I mean, this wasn't predictable, but not in a good way. In my opinion, I think they're hot-shotting a lot of things. They don't know where they're going, and I think they're panicking because they really have to start figuring out how they're going to sell all those seats to 32 over there in Dallas, and it really has to start now. You know what I mean?
We're
right around the corner from the Rumble, you know?
I'm willing to give WWE in one slice of criticism a little leeway, and that is they've dealt with a lot of departures all at once. Now, there's a big caveat to this, which I'll get to in a second, but they are without, unexpectedly, without some top names. Seth Rollins, Cesaro, Randy Orton, all gone at once. They have built a lot around part-timers, which is, in a way, their own fault, of course, in Brock Lesnar, and before that, Sting. Of course, Paul Heyman, a very big presence on the show that ideally he'd be managing somebody besides Lesnar so he could be on every week, because I think he's one of those guys people would tune in to watch, you know, to see what is he going to say next, and he could help get a new guy over. But and then you have John Cena on hiatus. You have Big Show on not in a prominent TV role and on hiatus. So there's a lot of missing parts that they're used to. But so you'd go, well, okay, so you have to judge them on the situation there now, for instance, with Sheamus is more of a bridge just to get to January. It's a Band-Aid. It's not a master plan that Vince McMahon thought this is a best scenario. That said, the default scenario he was in, Justin, was pretty blah. You know, I mean, I think Seth Rollins was badly overexposed. So I think when you have a bunch of injuries, it's actually a chance with your back against the wall to break some of your own habits, your own rules that maybe other people disagree with, and push some new guys. And that's kind of what happened with the the Attitude Era was one of those examples where, you know, he lost Bret Hart. He didn't have a lot of established names. And he's like, heck, let's, you know, Steve Austin's getting pops. We got to go with him. And, it, you know, next thing you know, it's huge. Mick Foley hired. There wasn't a lot of belief that he would work out. And he did. And he was in main events against Undertaker and Triple H. So I think they get a bad grade for what they're doing with all the injuries and the chance to push new guys. But I'm not going to criticize the Sheamus push or the League of Nations as something that was Vince's A plan, because it wasn't.
Sure. You know, I think fans right now, though, too, are so smart to the business. I mean, you know, a lot of the real fans. I mean, I know you have a lot of families with you know, those 7 and 8 year olds that just watch it for what it is. But the fans are getting so smarter, so much smarter, that I think you know, they need to really put their, you know, their ear to the ground and hear where the buzz is. That's one thing that really, you know, started to make wave in the way we changed wrestling in the 90s to a, you know, where we went to the cruiserweights, and, you know, we just, you know, it was just a kind of almost like a natural development where we were just going and giving them things that they hadn't seen before or in a long, long time. Especially, you know, the hardcore wrestling has been around as well. Maybe not to that degree, but that was old Texas stuff. We weren't, you know. So, I mean, absolutely. I think we just have to go back to just basic stuff, you know, and give guys a little more, you know. I think writers are too, you know, they're too Hollywood. I think Vince and Kevin Dunn are a huge part of the problem. Vince is a genius promoting and marketing his product and his brand. But I think, you know, what Vince possibly thinks is cool is really not. And I think that's a huge problem. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, I recall them, you know, they just do stuff to make themselves laugh. You know that. You've heard those stories.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, you know, with ratings at an all-time low, and I think that also has to deal with, too, is the mediums for, you know, multimedia and all that stuff. Broadcasts are changing. So it's not necessarily, a lot of kids aren't sitting in front of the TV like we were back then. You know, you're watching tablets and pads and Rokus and, you know. So I think that might have hopefully something to do with it. But I don't know. I think Vince has a really big problem creatively and with his overall brand, and I really find it hard for them to sell out that big stadium in Texas.
I know,
for WrestleMania.
I mean, what you hear is Vince thinks everything will be fine come January and WrestleMania season. So we'll see what he's got up his sleeve. I'm going to be curious to see what happens.
But really, who's left though? That is going to. Do you know what I mean?
I
who's
do.
Who's left?
I do not know what
you know,
he has planned.
I mean, we're still going to worry, you know, concentrate on, you know, promoting the Brock Lesnars and the Undertakers, and, you know, at his advanced age, and the Triple H's, of course, will work, and that's fine. They always put on great performances, but I'm saying, like, how many times are you going to go to the same formula and expect enough excitement to sell out a spectacle like that? You know, the business is not hot at all. I mean, it's ice cold, and that was partly, you know, not to start twisting and going in another direction, but that was part of the reason I stopped working, was because it was just not worth it from a fiscal standpoint, financial standpoint, Because if Vince is hot and the other companies are hot, the indies are hot, and everything is ice cold right now.
Good point, yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm with you on what you're saying. And, I mean, the WrestleMania season, I hope Vince makes it in part because I think he can run out of opportunities to do this pretty fast if the product gets colder. He needs to do what CM Punk kind of complained wasn't happening during his run on top, which is, yes, mix in the legends to boost up the WrestleMania season and make it feel special. But it's time to start having those legends act and put over the current guys who are on the rise, not just Roman Reigns. But he's got to pick 2-3 other guys who during WrestleMania season are not going to seem like they're lost in the shuffle. Oh, don't worry, they'll be back in May. They'll be back in mid-April. But for now, we're going to concentrate on the really big names. They need to elevate if Cesaro's ready by Mania, it sounds doubtful, but not impossible. If Kevin Owens stays healthy, he's there. Maybe pick a Finn Balor, maybe an Apollo Crews, somebody from NXT, or get Sami Zayn back in the mix. He's ready to come back at NXT. And elevate somebody against one of these supposed, or not supposed, but the legendary bigger names. And I'm curious if they can. I'm curious if that is on Vince's radar, because pretty soon he's not going to have the big names who can even put anybody over. And the WrestleMania brand is going to be hurt if there's 2 or 3 mediocre WrestleManias in a row. That cachet from just being a WrestleMania main eventer goes away. It becomes a lot less valuable. So he needs to look at this as a rebuilding period. And pick out some talent.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's time. If it's not time now, you're going to miss on that window.
Absolutely.
You know, you've been riding these guys too long, and he's wishing that Steve Austin will come back for another run. I doubt he will, but you know that's been a big buzz out there. He's not admitted to anything going forward, but it's always possible, especially where in Dallas down there. I mean, that'd be a big attraction, but I think unfortunately. You know, even if we get Rock and all those names, look at who we're counting on.
I know.
Again, the John Cena's of the now generation, but you're counting on Taker, you're counting on Steve, you're counting on Brock, you're counting on Rock, and then the rest of the guys, and then they always look less than. And then you're right, when these guys really can't do it anymore, or fans don't even care anymore, who's that next generation of those legends? What are you going to bring out the ECW crew like they're doing right now, the Dudley the Dreamer? I mean, I'm glad everybody's working, and they're talented cats. I worked Tommy in my last match, and he still can go. But it's like, again, even in that situation, you're going back to the yesteryear guys to bring some kind of flavor, because the young guys just aren't viewed upon the way the old school cats are for some reason.
I'm with you. We're going to take a short break and plug VIP, and then when we come back, we're going to start taking more calls. We've got a lot of people on hold who want to talk to you, Justin. My guest, Justin Credible, if you joined us midstream here on the Interview Thursday edition of the PW Torch Livecast, this is the last Livecast plug I will have for our Black Friday sale, Black Friday weekend sale that we've been running for a while here. This is it, your last chance, and you can go to pwtorch.com/govip and sign up for a VIP membership. And when you sign up for a 1 month, a 3 month, or a 1 year membership, all you have to do is enter coupon code LIVECASTSALE, one word, LIVECASTSALE, all one word, and you'll get $9 off any VIP membership, a 1 year, a 3 month, or a 1 month. What that means is if you choose 1 month and you just want to try us out, it's $1 grand total. That's all you pay. You get 1 month of VIP membership for $1. It will renew at the normal rate thereafter, but you're not obligated to do that. You can cancel at any time. You can try us out for a full month for $1. Check out the brand new, as of last month, built from the ground up VIP website, getting rave reviews. We just added a couple VIP content strip bars to the top. It's a really, really cool looking site and functionally superior to our previous ones. If you're an ex-member, good time to come back for that too. We are not just covering WWE, we're covering NXT, ROH, TNA getting on Pop TV again, New Japan, the indie scene, and we do nostalgia content too. The Wayback Playback Show every week takes an hour of a previous event from the 80s, 90s, or 2000s, and Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, familiar voices to Livecast listeners, review it in real time. So it's like having two friends over who know their stuff hanging out with you while you watch these old shows, putting them into context, telling funny stories, and just reacting to what they're seeing on the screen. You can sync it up on WWE Network with them and watch along with them. The Bruce Mitchell Audio Show consistently, regularly covers current events, but also for roughly 2 hours per week. Besides current events, I host the show with Bruce, and he goes in-depth on the history of wrestling. And one thing that we're going to be doing the next couple of weeks is talking about all the new content that just got added to WWE Network. The TBS, WCW, NWA shows at 6:05 Eastern on TBS in the 80s. It was the go-to show before Monday Night Raw for hardcore fans. And that show, NWA World Championship Wrestling, at 6:05 on TBS with Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen in their prime, Barry Windham in his prime, Dusty Rhodes as a top babyface. It's really good stuff, and Bruce is going to be putting that into context. Plus, AWA, Stampede, Smoky Mountain, tons of Stampede Wrestling, I think I just said that, from Calgary with a young Owen Hart. So much new content up this week on WWE Network, and Bruce is a fantastic resource, 25 years on the staff, to put those promotions in perspective. We'll tell you if the content on the network is good or not so good as it relates to the ups and downs of each TV show that they're putting up, and what to look for, and what is some behind-the-scenes stuff that was happening that you might not pick up on watching the show, and why certain wrestlers are getting pushed and others weren't. We'll get into all kinds of fascinating stuff on this extra content that was just added to WWE Library this week. So many reasons to go VIP, ad-free access to this show. VIP members do not have to listen to this plug when it goes up on the VIP feed later. The ads, the commercials, and the plugs are taken out. The website is ad-free. The website is now mobile-friendly. It form and shapes to your phone, and it allows you to stream our audio shows within browsers on iPhone and Android, but it also is compatible with popular podcast apps on iPhone and Android. Plus the weekly newsletter, available in PDF and alt-text format, and access to over 27 years of back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, over 1,400 issues available right when you sign up. Not just a few issues here and there, all 1,400-plus issues are available as soon as you sign up, covering the biggest stories that have happened since the late 1980s when I launched Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter. So lots and lots of reasons. Check out details, pwtorch.com/govip. Sign up for a VIP online membership, and you can get $9 off by entering coupon code LIVECASTSALE. In fact, now's a good time to do it. pwtorch.com/govip and click, and when you sign up to VIP membership, just enter the coupon code LIVECASTSALE in the last line right before you click the sign up button. All right, you can do that right now, and we'll be back right after these messages. As a listener of the PW Torch Livecast, it's obvious you're a pro wrestling fan who likes pro wrestling podcasts. Now there's a new website for you. Hi, I'm PW Torch Managing Editor Wade Keller, and I'm excited to announce that we have launched a new website called pwpodcasts.com. This website reports on pro wrestling podcasts by Steve Austin, Taz, Jim Ross, Colt Cabana, the crew at Grantland with Cheap Heat, and so many more. You get full, comprehensive reports of what was talked about with timestamps so that you can jump to the subjects that interest you most, even when your time is limited, or details on what was said if you just don't have time to listen to that podcast this week, and guides on which podcasts really stand out as must listen, and which ones maybe you can afford to skip this week if your time is limited. Individual, comprehensive, long reports on all of the top pro wrestling podcasts out there, updated every day at pwpodcasts.com. Check it out. That's pwpodcasts.com. All right, we're back live on the PW Torch Livecast. I'm Wade Keller, host of the program. This is Interview Thursday. Just incredible, former ECW World Heavyweight Champion, recently retired from professional wrestling, is on the program, real name PJ Polacco. So if you hear me calling him Peach, that's why. And we are taking your phone calls. I want to get back to the phone lines. We've got a bunch of people on hold, and I haven't done a good job working quickly through the phone calls. So we'll go next to 901, and then after that, 478. 901, thanks for calling. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Michael from Memphis. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing good, Michael. Thanks for calling. What have you got for Just Incredible today and me?
Well, I've got a few things to say. First of all, Justin, when they did your ECW action figure, which I'm holding right now, they gave you a trash can instead of a cane. What's up with that, man?
Oh, hold on. I put Justin on hold while we were doing the commercial break, so let me bring him back. Peach, sorry about that. So go ahead.
That's okay. I don't know, man. I just think it was they were trying to give different, you know, because Sandman was still with the company, so he had the cane, so they were probably at that time just trying to be diverse and make it look cute, I guess. I don't know.
You're okay with it. You're not losing sleep.
No, not.
All right, good.
Okay, and the last thing I have for you tonight is I listened to your rant the other day, and like I said on Twitter to you, I'd never heard you go off like that before. I was actually thoroughly impressed by you losing your temper a little bit. I think that you're completely right, that Vince McMahon is out of touch. I mean, when he's asking, should we bring back celebrity guest hosts, no one wants to see B. Arthur booking a cage match, okay? It's just not going to fly. He needs to, in my opinion, come back to reality, redevelop the younger talents so you don't have another mass exodus. I mean, if you look back the last 10 years, look at how many people have come and walked out of the company and never got beyond mid-card because he kept destroying them for people like Randy Orton and John Cena and so on and so forth. Your thoughts, gentlemen? Thank you.
All right, thanks. Go ahead, Peter.
You know, to me, it's... I mean, I think Vince is going to have a hard time letting go of the way he promotes his stuff. And it's not even so much the way he promotes and who he promotes and puts on top. I think it's just what he believes. You know, he likes sports entertainment. You know, and sometimes they do sports entertainment beautifully with those videos. And, you know, you do watch WrestleMania. It does feel very special and like a big event. And it is prestigious. But, you know, to fix what a lot of fans are saying is going on is just going to take, I think fans want something different from the norm. It doesn't mean that they have to change their entire style of booking, but the sets, the Tron, that'll never go away, but just something different, you know, needs to be. They're so smart. Kevin Dunn has done such a good job. Let's see something that isn't from the 90s, you know? And that's what I feel we're watching, and that's why it's not cool.
Yeah. Well said. All right. We've got a lot of callers, so we'll just keep rolling through calls here for a few more minutes. And then I've got some questions for PJ, too. Let's go to 478 and then on deck 718. 478, thanks for holding. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Darrell from Georgia.
Hey, Darrell. Go ahead with you're on with Just Incredible.
Okay. Since I know both of you guys keep up with today's program, and I know we all probably have a problem with the 3-hour Raw and the 2-hour SmackDown. Since they're kind of locked in into that, do you think it would be kind of refreshing since everybody say they have that it's a deep talent pool that they have that they're not using to start putting more matches on Raw and SmackDown and allowing guys to cut promos to build the bigger matches on the card, and the guys that you don't use on Raw, use them to cut promos for matches that you could have on SmackDown, so you won't be using the same 50-50 booking by having the same match on Raw on SmackDown where you can put two different guys in there, and it'll just feel more refreshing? That's my question for today.
Okay, Darrell, so let me clarify first. Darrell, you're just saying put a wider array of wrestlers, but have some of them more likely on SmackDown than Raw, so it's not just 50-50. Is that kind of fair, or am I not understanding?
Sort of, kind of. Instead of always, like, using the same match on Monday and putting it on SmackDown the next and 50-50 booking, just use your whole talent roster so it won't... Basically what I'm asking, so it will it seem like be more refreshing to use your whole talent roster, and you won't water down your product by booking the same guys and doing the 50-50 booking.
Okay, good. Yeah,
right. I hear what you're saying. I honestly think that they have the talent to go very deep and give guys opportunities. And that's what always, to me, is the problem. Is I think they don't work. You know, if you remember, when in any territory or organization where times were really good, you know, they had a very deep mid card, you know, and anybody could step up and fill a main event spot. So they had a lot of, you know, but that takes years of disciplined booking. But I think they have enough TV and enough talent, especially with NXT, to start rotating guys all over the place. But you know, that takes a lot of hard work. And unfortunately, you know, the writers are all wanting to kiss Vince's butt. and you know, write the stuff for the top guys instead of worrying about, you know, a mid to lower card act that could be, you know, a nice little add on to the show. Remember what the Luchadors did in WCW? You know, it was something we'd never seen. Even if you just do something like that with some young guys, you know.
I agree, and I like the idea of not having every wrestler on every show.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
Or all the same wrestlers. It's obviously there's weeks that go by where you don't see a certain wrestler, but there's a certain handful of the pushed wrestlers who are wrestling every week. And I think there's something to be said for having wrestlers wrestle every 2 or 3 weeks. And then what's Durrell is suggesting would work, which is it gives you a chance to bring out some different talent and have those wrestlers get some TV time. And so maybe 1 week the Dudleys wrestle on Raw. The next week they're not on Raw, they wrestle on SmackDown. The next week they're not on TV at all, and then the next week they're on SmackDown, and then after that Raw. Like, shake it up so it feels kind of special, and when they do appear, then you can make a big deal out of it by going, the Dudleys are wrestling tonight, because you don't see them every week. But the only people you don't see every week are the people who nobody wants to watch because they don't treat them like a big deal when they do wrestle. So a lot of it is kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy in that respect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Let's go to 718 next. 718, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Mike from Brooklyn. Hey, Wade. Hey, PJ. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good. How you doing?
So, two questions, and I'll just listen, make it quick, just to add on to what, you know, what y'all were saying about separating the brands. I mean, you know, separating different guys from the brand. Do y'all think it would be more beneficial, you know, like, once they move to USA to have, you know, like, the two mid-carder titles, you know, the U.S. and the IC title might maybe be the focal point of SmackDown? That's my first question. And the second question is, although we don't know his track record yet, how do you think Dewey Foley will fare, you know, as a writer? Do you think they will use any of his ideas? That's all I have.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, what was the first part of the question? It was about... I'm sorry, what was the first part of that question?
Mike, go ahead and repeat the first part.
The U.S. titles and
Yeah. Putting
titles.
The secondary titles on SmackDown to give them some more meaning.
I mean, there were other circumstances to the Wembley Stadium SummerSlam because of Davey Boy coming home to, you know, Great Britain. That was the biggest selling point. But still, you know, that match closed the show, and it was the IC title match. You know, and of course, that stuff, you know, you can't do it to that level. Of course, it was also homecoming for Davey Boy. That's what really sold the tickets. But you use the Intercontinental title used to be very hot, you know. I mean, that was a hot title for a very long time.
Yeah.
And I think it's a shame how bad it's, you know, how bad it's gone down. The U.S. title really has always been sort of a joke in WWE, nothing compared to what it was. But, you know, I think, you know, if you build it up, you could do it. And just, heck, I would just defend the title, the heavyweight title on the network and use the other two titles, you know, as your main championships. I know it'd be hard to, you know, have the champion, of course, show up, shoot angles and do some stuff, but don't have world title matches, or maybe throw in a non-title match once in a while. I remember back in the syndicated days, Hulk Hogan did a match for Superstars. It was a non-title match against a squash guy, but it was so special because, wow, Hulk Hogan's finally on the broadcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they have enough to do that. I think they just... they're lazy. You know, I don't think, and I hate to say it, I don't think Foley's kid is going to get an opportunity to really do more than contribute a little bit here and there because, you know, from what I've heard, if you have a good idea, you know, it just gets squashed anyways or completely mangled. And, you know, a lot of history goes back to Heyman struggles with stuff like that. But I think a committee of that size, people that aren't from our business really hurts in the long run. In times like this, they're good. They might be good in a Hollywood sense for funny TV or good, you know, here and there. But we need bookers. We need old school guys that know how to put fans back, you know, in front of their TVs and in the seats.
Very good. One more phone call, and then I'm going to talk to Justin about his retirement, and then we'll go back to more calls. Our number is 646-721-9828. That's 646-721-9828. Push 1 on your touchtone phone once you call if you want to be in the caller queue. Let's go next to, let me check the banks here. Let's go to 347 next. 347, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Jonathan from New York.
Jonathan from New York. Yeah, what have you got for Justin today?
Okay, well, the question, I meant to ask this on Monday and Tuesday, but I couldn't get a chance to call. But what I think that WWE is doing now, is the reason why they want to promote certain stars is, like, I think they're looking ahead of the future. Like, I don't think they want to go through the same thing they're going through now, that they always got to go back to, like, the legends to rely on filling up the stadium at WrestleMania. So I think that's the reason why they don't want to build up new stars. So I want you guys' take on that. And also, I would totally agree with what you said on Tuesday, Wade, about Roman, that, you know, it feels better when you do, when you like a wrestler and you do it for the passion and you pay your dues like everybody does. And, you know, when this guy going in an interview and says, oh, I just do what they tell me, I hope they're rich. Like, that don't seem genuine, you know. That don't seem, you don't have respect for a guy like that. As for Daniel Bryan, you got respect because we see the videos of SmackDown when he used to be American Dragon. And, you know, he was trying to do, it took him 15 years to get what he wanted, you know. That's what I got. Thanks, guys.
All right, great. Thank you. PJ, yeah, I mean, your assessment to what he said specifically and maybe just in general to Roman Reigns.
Well, I mean, you know, one of the things is, you know, even the, let's go back to how Goldberg, you know, got over, you know, just, it was a slower burn and, you know, and they just booked him and put him in the best situations to succeed the way they wanted to promote him. I know Roman could work. He's a different kind of animal. You know, he's, you know, I think he's got all the tangibles to go a long way and to be a big main event superstar in the business. I just think, you know, it's like the TNA problem. It's like once you've screwed up, you know, and they've screwed up for so many years. No, but even if they're doing good stuff, is willing to give them a chance. And I think now it's like you missed the boat on making him kind of the people's guy. And, pull, you know, fans are smart. They're so intelligent now that, like, okay, you tried to shove them down our throats. We didn't buy it. Now they're trying to pull back. But they'll always have that caution flag up because they know deep down that Vince really wants to go with this guy. And it's almost like a spiteful thing that they don't want to cheer for Vince's guys in some ways, you know. Or the guys we're being told to cheer for. So to speak, you know, they should really let guys happen as much as possible. I mean, I know it's easier said than done. Sometimes it just doesn't connect that quickly, but you know, that would be ideal. You know, go slow.
And there's this novel concept that Todd Martin on the VIP audio show, The Fix, said a few weeks back, which is listen to the crowd, and if they cheer someone, push them.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
some, you know,
absolutely.
I mean, you know, if they're cheering somebody who's a comedy act, I mean, understand, okay. You know, they're cheering them out of, you know, not irony, but, you know, it's an affection for somebody they don't expect to be a main eventer. But if it's a serious wrestler who maybe doesn't fit your definition of the number one guy to push, but your customer base is really excited about him, maybe don't make it more complicated than it has to be. Just start pushing them.
Yeah.
You know, it does sometimes seem like they make it harder. Vince makes it harder than it should be. Peach, I want to talk to you about your retirement match, and you said your decision to retire, you mentioned it, kind of announced it, that it was coming up earlier this year. You said it was coming up later this year on this show. And how did you pick out what your last match was going to be? And talk about that night and the emotions of you know, getting your gear on for the last time and wrestling and saying goodbye to the fans.
You know, I really didn't... I don't know. It wasn't so, you know, it wasn't as romantic as I'd want it to be. The opportunity came about because it's a bigger organization here in the Northeast called Pro Wrestling Syndicate. They do they have, you know, they pay for their own little TV show here on Saturday, so they draw quite good crowds, and they offered me the opportunity, and you know, I said sure because I was gonna finish up. You know, we'd either unceremoniously or ceremoniously, you know, in any way. So just. You know, it just kind of happened. They chose Tommy Dreamer for me to have my last match. And it was very nice. You know, Raven, Scott Levy, actually came out and said a nice speech, which shocked me because we all know Raven. But it was nice, and the fans were so generous. It was sold out. The fans were so generous. It was cool. It was very nice. But I wasn't as emotional as I thought, unfortunately. And not to poo-poo on anything that, I've been very blessed and fortunate. But I'm just wrestled out, man. My body starting to hurt. Like, my shoulder's really giving me a hard time. The business just isn't. When you start talking like this too much, maybe you are getting too old. I'm starting to, not the. You always think that your way is the best way, and I might, maybe I'm behind the times, but anyways, it's just, the business was just, I wasn't getting that thing out of it. I certainly wasn't getting rich from it on the indie level. And it's just time for me to go back to school and do something different, while I'm still young enough, 42, to be able to provide a somewhat successful, living for my family. That's my biggest concern.
Oh, there's tons of people I know in their mid or late 30s and their 40s who change careers, not because they have to or anything like that, but sometimes because they want another chapter in their lives. And the number of adult students starting their careers later now is, I think, probably an all-time high. And I think businesses like to hire people who have that real-world experience. I don't think that it's at all used against people. Obviously there's going to be some age discrimination in certain areas, but I applaud you for doing it, and I don't think that it's as rare as some people think it is to do what you're doing.
Sure. Sure. And you know what, too, I would have loved to stay in wrestling. I've had conversations with people from both promotions, Impact Wrestling and, WWE, and some at the very top of those promotions. And just has not been any kind of bite, So really, my situation, is just, I'm at a no-win where, look, it's time to stop playing wrestler. You're obviously not making the money you need to. And, maybe it's your time. And I don't want to be one of those guys at 65 having to make the towns. Yeah. I want to have more of a, and I'll still be involved in the business and make appearances and, do stuff like that. But I just think right now I just want to focus on a different aspect of my life other than, all right, I got homework, or I'm trying to get this job, but I got to make the towns.
Right.
Now it's like I want to put wrestling out of my mind for a while and, see where it goes from there, see where my life takes me from here, in a positive way.
Well, you know how it works. As soon as you get a good job, a couple years down the line, whenever you're that's when the phone call will come in.
That's when it happened. It happened to me in 2006 when I'd really written off. I'd done some stuff with PNA and I'd written off wrestling, and I started to look for work. And then Tommy Dreamer called me about One Night Stand, and then they got the contract for the new ECW, and I'd completely said I'm done with it in my mind, and I was starting to look elsewhere, and then they just, like The Godfather 3, when I think I can get out, they pull me right back in.
Oh, it's so true, yes.
Yeah.
What do you think of TNA? I mean, they've got their new deal on Pop TV coming up. The top executive there sounds very excited about the prospects of growing that brand. Very impressed by Dixie Carter's presentation. It breathes new life into the company. They've got the special coming up the first Tuesday in January. They will be a Tuesday night wrestling program. So those of you who felt empty on the inside because there wasn't a new wrestling show on Tuesday nights like there is Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, well, in 2016, you'll get your wish. Fresh programming every night of the week when New Japan is on Fridays, at least. TNA is making that possible. What do you think about what you've seen from them the last couple of years and kind of their place in history, and how does all the lessons WWE might be teaching the industry apply to them?
TNA... has been, they've tried so hard, and in the beginning, I would say, I don't know if I'm getting my years accurate, but from the 2004, 2005, 2006 time, they really started to make a name for themselves with the kind of action and that X Division, and the emergence of AJ Styles and some other very talented guys, and some of the legends. you know, they were doing okay, but then they you know, the Hulk Hogan, and I love Hulk, but then they started going old. And I don't mean bringing in the older guy, because I'm old too. I don't mind that. I'm just saying, you just can't make it about, you know, giving all your money to Hulk, Sting, Flair, you know, and Jeff Jarrett was still around at the time. And, you know, it just feels like WCW light, which, you know, if the real WCW couldn't beat out WWE, what makes you think that this is going to even grasp with any of the fans? They spent a ton of money. If you had just given somebody a quarter of the money that they have spent to do it old school, and to, you know, maybe not be a national promotion, but be a successful wrestling promotion, we could have probably made more money with the money half the money she spent, you know, just running towns and having a TV show than she probably did trying to big shot. And unfortunately, too much too soon. Now, can it be fixed? It's hard, because even they got a lot of good talent. You know, they got a lot of good stuff going on with the restructuring of the company. You know, I have friends there that I've spoken to, and you know, there's some frustrating parts about what goes on over there, because unfortunately, you know, a lot of the decisions go in hands of people that are non-wrestling people, and which is amazing, because there's so many people out there, smart minds in this business, that aren't working. You know, you just, I don't know, I think they have a great opportunity, but they really are going to have to be different. You know, they're going to have to be just really, like I said, just present it more like a sport. Try to really get, you know, all your characters over as best you can. Don't have those screwy finishes. You know, just take it a little, and no bad acting. If we want to watch bad acting, we'll watch Springer or who else has those, you know, Maury Povich,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Let's watch some good wrestling, because they've got some of the greatest athletes, you know, around. You know, let's do it, you know, and show them why you're different than WWE. Don't try to copy them, you know.
It is a it was a funny thing. I mentioned sometimes how pro wrestling, they talk about, well, they don't anymore, thankfully, but they called it the reality era for a while, which I just felt was very ironic, because it's never been more real. Everything is so scripted, it's the inauthentic. I think it's the inauthenticity era, where it's this sterile, scripted, tightly controlled environment that makes them at WWE management feel comfortable, but I think it makes fans feel less enthusiastic about the product. I was listening to talk radio, and somebody brought up, and they were just talking about bad reality shows, and they said that the show on Bravo, Vanderpump Rules, I think it's called, and they're like,
yes,
no, those, they, the complaint, the woman said, they don't even pretend that what they're doing is real and that the situations aren't just orchestrated. And I thought it was funny,
right.
and I found that poignant, Justin, because I think what she was saying is she wants to suspend her disbelief when she watches reality TV. She knows stuff
right.
is orchestrated ahead of time. She knows that some of the characters are edited a certain way and they play up certain things. But at least when you watch a reality show, they give you that story to believe in, and they're consistent, and they try to make it seem somewhat impromptu, somewhat unscripted. And her complaint was, I want a reality show that treats me like a mark, in a professional way, you know, like, let me mark
right.
out for it. Don't shove in my face that it's not real. And I
thought, right.
you know what, that's what WWE doesn't seem to get, is that just because people know pro wrestling is as orchestrated and manipulated as reality television, and I don't mean Survivor, but I mean, you know, the ones, you know, the housewife shows or the, you know, whatever,
sure.
that ilk that's personality driven, not contest driven. And those shows are a better example of what pro wrestling used to be, which is give
right.
viewers a story to believe in, let them immerse themselves in the universe. It seems WWE just doesn't get that. That's okay to do that. You're not insulting anyone's intelligence. You're not trying to pull the
nope.
wool over their eyes. You're just trying to give them a better show, a better experience as a viewer.
Yeah. I would almost, you know, if Impact Wrestling had, you know, the guts to really, you know, and I don't trust a lot of the people that they have in their inner workings, because I don't find that they were that successful in WWE. You know what I'm talking about over there, TNA, one of the head guys. They should almost take it from almost like present it like ESPN, you know, and really try to, you know, just give it a more different. I mean, you're really going to have to go different, you know, because there's so much banter if you watch those shows, and and stuff like that, that that becomes part of the story, and you're telling the story through the tale of the tape or through interviews or analysis. And, you know, there's just, you know, I know at first it'll be very weird, and you don't have to go strictly away from the entertainment part, but then, you know, when you have a press conference and you have the two guys standing there instead of those cheesy in-ring contract signings, you know, like they used to do in Japan and they do in the UFC, it looks more professional. And then you can do all your little storylines from there. And, you know, it doesn't have to be that bad acting. You could really just get pumped up. You know, if these UFC guys make it believable, I mean, you know, a lot of the stuff they do pre, you know, like to promote the shows are just hyped and promos. You know, the stuff they do in there is a shoot, I believe. But, you know, they still use a very pro wrestling style way to sell the shows, and I still think that that could still sell shows, you know?
Yeah. I do know.
Instead of copying, you know, Vince, you know?
Yes. All right, well, let's go ahead and take another call here. Let's go to 862 next. 862, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Kylan from North New Jersey.
Thanks for calling, Kylan. What have you got for Justin today?
Okay, my first question for you, PJ, is can legendary wrestling names such as Jerry Jarrett or Kevin Sullivan, who are getting back into the business today, survive in this relatively downtrodden climate that we have?
Go ahead, Peach.
Is the question more like how would your product fare today? Or
Colin, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what he's saying is would some of the smart names from the past be helpful in correcting the course of today? Some of the people in
power. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think, look, it doesn't necessarily even have to be those folks. You know, but I think that there are enough minds, you know, that can certainly help. Wrestling is not like a movie. You know, you're not writing like how you write for The Walking Dead, for example. You know, and that's how they try to kind of do it, leading to their season. You know, their pay per views, their special events, etc. And I think you just really need some old school, basics to add on to the more of the Hollywood stuff, you know, but you just need some continuity. And I think continuity bothers a lot of fans in both organizations of the storylines, you know.
Go ahead, Colin.
Okay, question number two. Since you know more of the human being than the character per se, PJ. Question number two for you. How much control does Paul Levesque, the man, as opposed to Triple H, the character, really have over today's current WWE?
Yeah, go ahead, PJ.
Well, to keep it really quick, I don't think, you know, I think there's not much of a difference anymore between corporate Paul Levesque and Triple H. I think they're both very oddly spliced together. The Hunter I know and remember was very much, you know, funny guy, tell jokes and stuff like that. But he's, you know, he's also, there's, you know, there's just other sides to him that I wouldn't know about today. So I think that's just a... I don't know, man. I think they're more the same person in reality and in the ring, kind of. They've smelled it into one. I don't think he knows where one ends and when the other begins because of the full-time nature of what he does. It's a very surreal and weird life to be in that position, you know, 24/7, as they say they do it.
Your personal opinion, because nobody would know for sure, but how much confidence would Vince McMahon have had, and how much of a confidant would Triple H have become had he not married Stephanie McMahon? Obviously, Triple H was a big star before dating Stephanie, but would he was he the type of person, from what you knew, who would have been able to and been coveted by Vince McMahon to be in a powerful executive position?
I think it would have happened to some degree. I don't think it would have possibly gone on the trusting level that it is today. I mean, you know, But the opportunity of Stephanie, you know, dating Paul and bringing him around is, you know, two, you get to know the real, you know, what your daughter feels is his real intentions, and maybe a little closer than Vince would get to know him. And, you know, and obviously they have a lot of trust in him, and they should. I think he's done great things with NXT. And it's also, believe it or not, from what I hear, too, I mean, obviously he has a ton of power. But the balance of power there is not as simple as, you know, you know, unless you're the old man, you just, not everybody could just sit there and override something. From what I, you know, I'm sure he could if he really wanted to. You don't like to step on toes. So I think even for him, clearing stuff through Vince, not even knowing what is, you know, I don't know what is his, what he feels about the business and the direction it should be going in. But who knows? I mean, you know, I just think there's more things at play there with committees and all these people. And finally, what stops at the top with Stephanie, Hunter, and Vince. And Kevin Dunn, who is a huge name that we don't speak of enough. I think he's a big problem in the way that things are headed.
Your experience with Triple H when you were around him, describe what he was like then in terms of ambition, in terms of how smart he seemed when it came to the way the industry went, how much of a student of the game he was. Was he wrapped up in promoting himself? Was he someone who talked a lot about other talent and seemed to have a good eye for things? What was your impression of him before he gained the power that he has?
He was always very... very solid as far as, you know, got up, took care of his business, was a professional. He was dressing up, you know, in a blazer and a jacket, you know, and in suit and tie sometimes to the shows before other people were doing it, just because, that was his gimmick as the blue blood. And he wanted to, you know, look professional, you know, in the way he carried himself. Always, at first, the very first year he was there, we traveled, just him and I, split rooms down the middle for a good, you know, 6 to 10 months, I would say, you know, and that's, you know, depending on which tour you were on, or I'd go with Razor if Paul was on the other tour. So, you know, we always hooked up regardless of who was on our shows. But with Paul, he watched every match, always was, you know, picking Sean and other agents who had been there, Pat Patterson especially. Everybody picked Pat Patterson's brain. He's very, you know, he was legendary at what he did. You know, and a very smart man. So everybody always talked to him. So I think he worked real hard, and he would. He's a big student of the game, and of course, some of it was self promotion. But you got to, you know, because then it's all up. When he says play, you know, play the game. He played the game. Mm-hmm. You know, he played the game, but to every degree. You know, he also worked hard and acted like a pro too. You know.
Did he seem like somebody who, if he gained power, would be on the side of empowering the wrestlers and the talent? Or did he seem like somebody who was just a boss waiting to happen, you know, if you know what I mean?
That's a good question, man. We always saw him as one of the boys, but you can either be one of the boys or, you know, the office. You can't be both. It's real hard to be both, you know, because just in the nature of the struggle of, you know, management, you know, it's just, it's hard. So, do I think he would do, I think he tries to do what he feels is right for the business. I still believe he likes the pro wrestling aspect of our business, you know?
Yeah.
So I just think they're also very stuck in their ways of, you know, now they've isolated themselves and really, you know, they've done a better job with gathering some talent from the indie scene recently, the past couple of years, and especially the Samoa Joes and Kevin Owens coming up to the main roster. But I don't know if that's going to be enough for this, I don't know. I think there needs to be something else to happen, you know.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody, I'll tell you what, I don't see anybody that's there now doing anything for any type of big box office. I don't see him. He's not in the main roster yet.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know if you see it differently. I don't mean the Brock Lesnar's and the established guys, but the next big guy to, you know, like a Rock or a, you know, a young stud, I'm not seeing it.
I think the problem is anybody with that potential, if they had it, has been defined down as something less than that. Because WWE hasn't, other than Roman Reigns, they haven't really, and Seth Rollins, I guess you could say, everybody else has been kind of defined down as an even Steven supporting cast role. And it's hard when you're right. established as that or defined as that to break past it. You know, Steve Austin was not a prelim guy for very long, if he was ever a prelim guy. But, you know, he wasn't in the main events instantly.
I understand what you're saying, though.
And you know, he rose to the top quickly. And I just, this idea that you got to wait, you know, Kevin Nash has often said, oh, it takes 6 years to really establish yourself and be recognized as a big enough name to be a top draw. And I just don't think that rule applies. And maybe I'm oversimplifying his argument, but if that is his argument, I would disagree with it. I think sometimes when you arrive on the main roster, the time to strike is within, you know, 3 to 6 months. You need to tell fans, which they could have done with Kevin Owens, for instance, this guy's something special. And he's beating people that no one else can beat in the way that he's beating them. And then it gets exciting. He's the rookie of the year. He's the new sensation. And so I think they have to look to NXT for those people if they're going to take that approach. I want to go back to Kylan and see if he does have a third topic for us. He's still on hold. Kylan, do you have a third topic for us?
Yeah. And my third question is, do you believe that someone like Scott Hall or you would be a welcome addition in terms of training or creative today? Because I'm aware that Scott is now being looked at for some type of consulting role, and Wade has expressed that he feels as though Scott would inject a sense of realness or this needs to be fixed.
Kylan, I think what you're getting at is I've said I think Scott has, one, a good mind for the business, and two, a bluntness. He's not going to kiss ass and play that game, at least the Scott Hall I've always heard about and known.
Right. I agree. I mean, you know, Scott has... See, Scott is, he got everything, you know, from those old AWA days. He learned a lot up there. And what he really, really broke through was with that Intercontinental series, title series against Shawn Michaels. I mean, back then, the house shows were, well, you know, there were a lot more of them. So they worked every single night before you saw that big WrestleMania 10 match. You know, and they had all kinds of, you know, styles of matches during that run, and that's when they really Scott really became great, and you know, getting to work with Kurt Hennig as well. So I mean, Scott is very good at communicating. He's more of a guy that'll get in there and he'll talk to you, but he goes into great detail and he'll tell you and he'll explain why, and he's very good at teaching timing as well. Timing is very important in our business. People never really realize the importance of timing. So I think he'd be great if you could keep the you know, his heart into it and really you know, push himself to doing a stellar job. He would.
I think having Scott Hall around, if he was fearless and not political because he just wanted to collect a paycheck, would be so valuable to Vince McMahon now. And whether it was, you know, and he'd be valuable to just be somebody to tell some guys what they need to hear. And it doesn't mean Scott's always right, but Scott can be blunt. He can be moody. He can be rude and unforgiving, but he's always smart. And I think ultimately anything he said in that position would be to try to make things better. And I think his batting average would be high in terms of being right, and when he was wrong, he'd be very wrong because he wouldn't hedge. But I think you need more people like that to correct course.
Yeah, I think so. I think that, and that's the problem. That business is to such a way that it's very hard to earn a living here. So guys are not going to rock the boat, and the last thing they want to do is tip any, you know, say anything improper or go against something against the grain. You know, and yeah, that would be you know, something very useful if Scott were to stay true to himself, like you said, and not you know, walk on eggshells over there.
Peach, we're just about out of time here. I've got to run at about a quarter after, so we're right at that point. Is there anything that you've seen on Raw or other shows that's been kind of eating away at you, that in a negative way, or that you want to kind of go out of your way to say more of that? I like what I've seen. Anything on TV recently that jumps out to you that you want to bring up before we wrap up?
In full disclosure, I haven't watched a full episode in, I'd say, 3 or 4 weeks. A lot of it doesn't have to do with just my disdain for the storylines. But my wife had just recent surgery last week, and I've been full-time taking care of everything around here.
Yeah.
But from what I have, you know, but from what I have seen, I'm not not excited. I'm not excited when a certain storyline happens, or, you know, the title win, the tournament I thought might have been promising, but at the end it didn't excite me, and the cashing in, you know, we'll see where they go with it, but obviously Sheamus is nothing more than a transitional champion. So, I mean, it's just, I'm just not excited about the product, you know, and I can understand. I'm not saying that there's nothing that they cannot fix. I mean, they could turn it around quickly, I'm sure, if they wanted to, but you know, it's going to take a while of somebody with a real direction, and let's stay the course. You know, we don't give a lot of characters, you know, if they fail on Raw one or two times, we'll just keep putting them out there, not changing the approach, but expecting a different result. It's like the fly trying to get out of the window. They keep hitting their heads, you know.
Yeah.
And if they just, you know, you put a guy out there, he's not working the way you're presenting him, maybe try to switch it a little bit. I mean, just don't keep throwing these guys out there until fans see him as jabrones. Then they'll never believe in you, and you end up being a Fandango or guys like that, you know, that really never go anywhere. You know, because fans already labeled you what you are, you know.
Yeah. Peach, always great to have you on the show. We'll do it again soon down the line.
Thank you,
if
you're
willing. Appreciate your time. Send best wishes to your wife and your whole family. And congratulations on embarking on a new career and a new education and starting a new chapter. But we hope you'll keep watching wrestling, and we can have you back on to hopefully update some improvements as we head towards WrestleMania.
Absolutely, man. I'm always here for you. Thank you so much, Wade, for you and everybody at PWTorch.com.
And I've got to say, too, do you have anything to plug? I always would like to give you an opportunity to talk about any dates or Twitter or anything.
Sure. Check out my Pro Wrestling 101 series on YouTube. Just go right up to the search bar and type in Pro Wrestling 101, and over 50 instructional style videos on a lot of the stuff that Wade and I were talking about. So check that out. Follow me at Twitter at PJ Polacco, PolaCo, and thejustincredible.com for the latest on merchandise and stuff like that.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Alrighty.
Thanks, Peach. We'll talk to you soon. And thanks to our callers.
Thank
you,
Wade.
And, of course, to all of our listeners here at PWTorchLivecast.com. You can subscribe in iTunes or on any popular podcast app, and you can find links to all our shows at PWTorchLivecast.com. That's the free show. We have we're on 5 days a week live, but we do about 100 VIP exclusive shows, ad-free versions of this live cast, VIP after shows after numerous episodes per week, and a ton of other VIP exclusive programs covering current events, but also the past, the history. We educate you and entertain you on the long, rich track record that this industry has in so many ways that go beyond Raw. And what we watch on Monday nights and have watched for decades on Monday nights. If you want to learn about the industry, not just what's happening, but why it's happening, and put it into historical context with respected points of view, the PW Torch VIP membership might be for you. And we are giving you a chance to try it for just $1. It's the last live cast plug that I'll have for a sale for VIP this year. And the place to go is pwtorch.com/govip. That's our main website, pwtorch.com, and then /govip. Tells you everything you need to know about VIP membership. More than I can tell you here about the newsletters, the current ones, the back issues, the ad-free audio shows, all the different types of shows you get, Wayback Playback, Pro Wrestling Spotlight Radio shows that have never been on the internet before. And I have boxes and boxes of hundreds of tapes of the Pro Wrestling Spotlight Radio show that John Arezzi hosted in the late 80s through the mid-90s, and they've never been heard since it aired originally in New York. And throughout the month, all the time, we're adding new episodes. We try to add sometimes just one, but sometimes two, three, and four episodes in a given month. We just posted last weekend a 1991 interview with Jesse the Body Ventura that John Arezzi conducted. And there are dozens and dozens of Pro Wrestling Spotlight shows and Pro Wrestling Focus shows that I hosted in the early 90s. The Total Chaos Radio Show with Jim Valley, there's a handful of those. Some really cool nostalgia from the 1990s with audio shows. Before the internet had podcasting, before the term podcast was invented, wrestling radio in the 90s was a big thing. And we've got three of the biggest titles in pro wrestling radio from the 90s in our assortment of shows. And actually, the Total Chaos show goes into the early 2000s. Plus, we have 10 years ago VIP audio. If you were a fan in the mid-90s but didn't really follow the industry the way the Torch covers it, throughout the month, on average, probably 15 to 20, 10 years ago VIP audio shows are posted near the anniversary date of when they originally aired. Pay-per-view roundtables on the pay-per-view from 10 years ago this month. The Bruce Mitchell audio show in its infancy. The Wade Keller hotline. Behind-the-scenes stories on what's going on in WWE on the Wade Keller hotline and much more. It's a cool feature. There's such a wide array of content, and for $1, you get to explore all of it on our new VIP website, which is beautiful on a laptop or a desktop browser, but also great. It is a responsive design, and it reshapes for your mobile phone and gives you access to all the new VIP content, the newsletter, PDFs, the newsletter text editions, our VIP exclusive articles, my VIP exclusive TV reports on Raw and NXT and Impact that went up this past week. And also streaming our audio shows, our VIP audio shows. They're ad-free and more than one a day. Like I said, roughly about 100 new VIP audio shows per month, including the ad-free live casts and VIP after shows. It's a great deal for $10 a month. It is an incredible deal for $1. Just go to pwtorch.com/govip and enter coupon code LIVECASTSALE. And one other reminder, pwtorch.com/Amazon. is a place to go if you want to help support us while you shop for the holidays or just shop for yourself doing routine Amazon shopping. If you're an Amazon customer, keep us in mind. When you type AMAZ, stop right there and type pwtorch.com/Amazon instead. There's a US, UK, and Canada link or links, and you can choose the one that applies to you and shop away just as you normally would on the same merchandise. You pay the same prices, have the same selection, but because I mention Amazon here, they give us a commission, a cut of your purchases. So profit that will go to them instead, some of that goes to us. And we thank all of you who are doing that. If you're a UFC fan, an MMA fan, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, and their livecast, MMATorchLivecast.com, hosted by Jamie Pennick on a weekly basis. And, of course, our main website, PWTorch.com, also revised, updated, built from the ground up with a brand-new layout. Check it out at PWTorch.com. Daily news, really good in-depth news stories. There's a lot of pro wrestling websites out there, but PWTorch.com's brand of covering it is different than others. And it's not just restating in brief form what other people have reported at other sites or in other newsletters. It's full-fledged journalism reporting on the top stories. And then our daily Torch Today update, which was what we did at the beginning in 1999 when we launched the website, is back with a bunch of bullet point items every day to just give you your fix on a bunch of things that are going on that maybe aren't deserving of their own headline. But in one click every day, you can get a summary of a lot of things going on in wrestling. It's a great resource. It's a great layout. Live TV coverage, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive features, tidbits and Torch Today, a bunch of them every day, and then the big stories, more perspective on TV ratings than you'll find anywhere else, for instance, and so much more. It's worth a daily visit, pwtorch.com. Thanks, everybody. That does it for me for today, and until next time, I'll be on the show is next Tuesday with Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net. This is Wade Keller signing off. This is life.